Well, we have some visitors with us today, so I feel a little bad outing the rest of you to them, but I have to tell you, you all try my patience some Sundays. Here's the deal. So I don't get me wrong, I love you all, and I love how much some of you, I might even dare say most of you, love to share the peace. But really, friends, I mean, there is a whole fellowship time after the service. You don't need to do all your catch-ups during the sharing of the peace. Sometimes it takes quite an effort to get you to be quiet enough that you can even hear that we are moving on. Right, David? I shouldn't say right, David. David's one of the main culprits. I can't get him back up to the chancel to help lead the next part. Maybe we should just, I don't know, take a break from sharing of the peace for a while. What do you think?
No.
We have a couple takers, yep. I know there are some folks who watch from home who would not mind if we took a break from sharing the peace. Actually, I think some of them now treat it like a commercial break, right? Like they go to the bathroom, maybe grab a snack before they come back for the rest of worship. Of course, you all know sharing of the peace is not essential, right? Some of you might remember when sharing of the peace was first introduced to worship. Any of you remember that? Yeah, uh-huh, yep, back in the day. But I will say, it was Jesus who instituted the sharing of the peace. Now, not specifically in a worship setting, but we see today Jesus institute, or perhaps reinstitute, the sharing of the peace. For Jesus, being a good Jew, brought shalom, right? Wherever he went. Shalom, he said. It was a common greeting in the Jewish community at the time. And yet, I will tell you, we miss the point of sharing the peace if it becomes merely a greeting, or even worse, a time to share some gossip, right? That is entirely missing the point. And then in the preaching of Jesus, several times he talked about how we are to make peace with our neighbor before we bring our gift to the altar, right? So before we have an offering, we should share peace, right? He also then talks about how before we go to court, we should try to settle our debt with our neighbor, because it might not be so good with us or for us if we go all the way to court. And of course, it is Jesus who says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." But today, in the story that we hear from the Gospel of John, which, by the way, is only in the Gospel of John, and so there's no other version to turn to, and we hear it every year on this Sunday, Jesus appears behind locked doors. Who knew that Jesus was a magician? And the first words out of the mouth of Jesus are, "Peace be with you." Jesus appears to his disciples, who are both afraid and confused. Just to back up a little bit, because again, we were in Luke last week, so you might not remember that in John's gospel, at this point in the story, Jesus had already appeared to Mary Magdalene. Actually, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She was the only one in John's gospel who went to the tomb to take care of the body. And instead of finding Jesus' dead body, she found an angel. And then she is told what happens, that he's not here and that she should go and tell the others, but she doesn't. Not right away, because instead she encounters who she believes is the gardener. And the gardener turns out to be Jesus. And only then does she run to do what she was instructed, and she goes to the disciples who are in today's story. She goes to the disciples and she says, "I have seen the Lord." And so why, when we get to the upper room today, to the locked doors. Why are they locked in there? Why aren't they out in the streets parading with trumpets, shouting, "Alleluia, Christ is risen"? Well, because they have not yet seen the Lord. They need to see, to understand, to have it soak in. For when they are found by Jesus, they are lost in fear and sadness, and now also some confusion with an inkling of a hope. In fact, reflecting the same reaction of the women at the tomb last week in the Gospel of Luke, who listen to the angel but are only moved to complete joy when it is Jesus whom they encounter. And again today, it is only the appearance of Jesus saying, "Peace be with you," and showing them his hands and his side, that moves them to join the acclamation of Mary, "We have seen the Lord." Jesus does not simply enter into this space. He doesn't knock on the door, right? He appears there, and he doesn't enter that space of fear and confusion and sadness and grief and say, "Hey, what's up?" like I just did with Tom, right? He does not do that, right? This is not simply a greeting from Jesus. Jesus enters that space and disperses the overwhelming sense of gloom. I think we're all familiar with that feeling, aren't we? That feeling of impenetrable gloom. Do you all remember? I actually only remembered it during the sermon last service, but there was a little meme during the pandemic based on the children's book, Goodnight Moon. You all know Goodnight Moon? Yeah? In Goodnight Moon, it says Goodnight Moon, right? And it changes it in this meme to Goodnight Moon, Goodnight Zoom, Goodnight Sense of Impending Doom. Which, you know, it would be good to be able to say goodnight to that feeling, wouldn't it? And actually, it reminds me of another children's book that I used to read to our children. It was called The Pout Pout Fish in the Big, Big Dark. And it was about a fish who was perpetually sad and scared. That is arguably where many of us are living in these days. Or at least you all go through spells of it, don't you? Spells when it is overwhelming, the sense that things are getting worse and we can't imagine them getting better anytime soon. Where our interpersonal relationships are frayed and our bills are piling up, where our bodies are betraying us, and the world is devolving into violence and disarray. There is no amount of "Hi, how are ya?" that is gonna break through that. We need something more substantial, something deeper than "Hi." But again, Jesus does not enter into that space and simply say "Hi." Jesus joins them right where they are. Practically, he goes behind locked doors, right? But also emotionally, he knows exactly what they need. They don't need joy and celebration. They need reassurance. They need peace. Thomas only asks for that because he missed out, right? He missed out on the experience because he cannot now say, "We have seen the Lord," because he has not yet seen the Lord. But he is then bold enough to state exactly what he needs. "Unless I see and touch." In fact, six chapters before, do you all remember the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John? Maybe you do, because it's a famous one. We read it at about half of the funerals here at Epiphany. In John chapter 14, Jesus says that beautiful passage where in my Father's house there are many mansions or rooms or dwelling places, depending on the translation. And he goes on to say to his disciples, and you know the way to the place where I am going. And then one of the disciples pipes up and says, what? We don't even know where you're going. How are we supposed to know the way? Do you know who says that? It's Thomas. Yeah, Thomas says that. And then we get the beautiful response of Jesus, which I'm sure most of you probably know at this point. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. We are invited to follow Jesus in the way of peace, not in a trivial greeting, but a deep and abiding peace in a world of turmoil. So no, sorry, Charlene. Sorry, Donna. We will not do away with the sharing of the peace, but I do invite us, thank you, Charlene, I saw that. I do invite us all to reconsider how we do it. You don't need to say hi to everyone. And by the way, I know I am guilty too. I don't need to say hi to everyone. Maybe instead, seek out a few people who you believe could use a genuine word of peace from you. Maybe even, and try not to make this too obvious because it can be awkward, but maybe even seek someone out who you have struggled with of late, who you have a hard time even looking in the eye because they're kind of tough to deal with. Go to them and share God's peace with them. Speak a word of reconciliation. And in a world of chaos and beauty, growth and destruction, gentle grace and intolerable injustice, bring God's peace with you wherever you go. I pray desperately that through us, God will bring about true justice that can bring true peace. That through us, God will usher in shalom in our hearts, shalom in our homes, shalom in our church, shalom in our streets, shalom in this nation, shalom in our world. For again, we hear the promise that God finds us right where we are, whether that is joyful or in mourning, overwhelmed or numb, scared or hopeful, or a jumbled confusion of all of the above. May God bear God's peace through us. In Jesus' name, amen.